Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
The Bible says He makes all things beautiful in His time, including the wonderful hammer time. Well, today I'm concluding what I started last week when I talked about borrowing vessels. So this is Go Borrow Vessels Part 2, is the conclusion of last week's message. And please stand with me once again in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 4 and verses 1 to 7. 2 Kings chapter 4 verses 1 to 7. This is a passage that talks about God's ability to provide for us in spite of the challenges and difficulties that we encounter and the limitations that we are exposed to. God is able to supply our need. And as we read the scripture, we discover a process by which God does that. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. Let's hear the reading of God's word. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors. Empty vessels, do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another vessel." So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil, pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest." And we are blessed by the reading and the doing of God's word. Amen. This is a woman who is confronted with various challenges in her life. She's lost her husband. She's in debt. Her children are about to be taken away from her. She is suffering shame in her community. And she's frustrated with God and does not really know where the next meal is coming from. She's going through a crisis of huge proportions. And this woman comes to the prophet Elisha, who used to be the boss of her deceased husband, seeking for a way out. The prophet asked her two questions. "What do you want me to do for you?" And the second question is, "What do you have?" This woman chooses not to respond to the first question, but she responds to the second question. And she says, "I have nothing but," and she makes a statement of faith. First about what she doesn't have, and then about what she has. And in that statement of faith, she declares what she has. And I believe that that is also our statement of faith. You can also say, "I have nothing but." I don't know what your statement of faith may be. Some of you may say, "I have nothing, I have no money, but I have talent. I have no one to help me, but I have God. I feel weak and tired, but I have faith. I feel discouraged, but I have hope. I have no child, but I have the promise of God. I have no husband, but I have the strength of the Spirit of God. I don't know what you don't have, but you must discover what you have. And it is in discovering what you have that you discover God's provision. You may have lost everything, but you have new opportunities all around you. And God introduces this woman to a turnaround process. God's turnaround process involves three things. One is the creative word, which is God's input into the situation. Second is the jar of oil, that is your personal input. And third is the borrowed vessels, that is other people's input. We covered all of that last week. So now we go to the substantial part of what we're saying today. Elisha gave this woman specific guidelines on what to borrow. Guidelines for borrowing vessels. First thing Elisha said is, borrow from everywhere. Borrow from everywhere. And that means that when we are borrowing vessels, and you remember I said that the vessels represents methods or systems or lessons that others have acquired, which you can use to advance the vision and the ideas that God has given to you. Each one of us has been given some specific gifting, some talent, some ability that nobody can take away from us. But sometimes we don't know how to use it well. And in order to use it, we have to get something from other people. And that is where the vessels come in. And Elisha says, borrow from everywhere. You can borrow from everywhere, from every field, from every discipline of study, from science, from law, from art, from music, from sports, from commerce, from business. You can borrow everywhere. Because whatever God gives you will need containers. Sometimes the idea may be there, but you don't have a good marketing strategy. So you must borrow marketing vessels. I was listening to somebody on TV saying, I have a great product. My only problem is marketing. So sometimes you have your oil, you have a great product, but you don't market properly. So go borrow marketing vessels. Sometimes you have a good system, but you haven't structured it well in a management system. So go borrow some management vessels. So Elisha says, borrow from everywhere, from every field, from every discipline. I believe that one of the important keys to everyone who wants to achieve success in life is that they must be multidisciplinary. Yes, you may have grown in some area of endeavor, but you must learn from every discipline. I am a pastor. I must focus on spiritual growth, on theological development. But I must also borrow vessels from science, from business, from law, from music, so I can package what I have properly to be able to serve God's people better. Borrow from everywhere. Secondly, he says, borrow from all your neighbors. From all your neighbors. I don't know the kind of neighbors that this woman had. I'm sure some of them were male, some were female, some were young. Some were old, some were rich, some were poor, some were educated, some were illiterate, some were noble people, some were servants. He says, borrow from all of them. You cannot tell who can give you the structure that will help you to develop the vision you have. You remember when Solomon, who is a wise man, goes to God, and God says, go to the ant. Go to the ant and learn from the ant. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches so much about so many other areas of our lives. Jesus Christ himself borrowed from all kinds of people, and he borrowed from everywhere. Do you know that Jesus Christ used agriculture to teach? A sower went out to sow. What is that? Agriculture. What was he teaching? Spiritual truth. Spiritual truth borrowed agricultural ideas. Jesus talked about talent. What was that? Commerce, business, management. Jesus used new ideas from his environment to carry his thoughts. So borrow from everywhere. Borrow from all your neighbors. God can use rich people to help you, and believe you me, he can also use poor people to help you. God can use old people to help you, but he can also use young people to help you. God can use men to help you. He can also use women to help you. God can use professors to help you. He can also use stark illiterates to help you. If you are open, you can learn lessons from everybody. Third, borrow empty vessels. Borrow empty vessels. Make sure it's an empty vessel. It doesn't have other people's content in it. Don't borrow other people's achievements. Rather, borrow the processes and methods they use to achieve their results. Borrow empty vessels. Yes, it's good to be inspired by what people have achieved. But beyond being inspired by what people have achieved, you must learn how they achieved what they achieved. So that if you get the method, you can now get the principle that you can use to also get to where you are. And that's why I believe that every leader must also be a reader. Everyone who wants to rise high in life must also read about those who have risen high in life. Read biographies, read autobiographies, read the stories of great achievers. If you don't read, you don't know. For some of us, all the knowledge we have is what is in our head. But if you want to grow and you want to really achieve great things for God, you must borrow other people's ideas. Read books. Have you started reading this year? Read good books. Not just something that people have written which doesn't have substance, but read intelligent books. And reading sometimes is difficult because you have to struggle to read. Sometimes you may not fully understand what you're reading, so you get a book, get a dictionary. And as you read, refer to words you don't understand. Develop your vocabulary. Develop your scope of understanding so you will be able to have vessels to put your oil into. God has blessed you with the oil, but he has not blessed you with the vessel. The vessel is with somebody else, and you have to borrow what other people have. Do you know anytime you read a book, you've borrowed somebody's vessel? Oh, yeah. If you want to be a leader, read about the great leaders in the world, in all disciplines. In military leadership, political leadership, economic leaders, business leaders, fashion leaders, sports leaders, religious leaders. As a personal principle, I read a lot about leaders. I'm not doing as much reading as I used to, but I think I've gathered enough store to help me along the way. I read from all disciplines, leaders from everywhere, because I am a leader. So why do you say you're a leader? I'm leading this church. And I have to know how to lead God's people. And the people who come to this church are not only looking for spiritual leadership. They are looking for leadership in all areas of life. Do you know the kinds of questions that people ask pastors? People ask us not only about the Bible. As a matter of fact, most people don't ask us about the Bible. People come to us to ask us about how to solve marital problems. That is not theological. That is family therapy. I must know family therapy so that I don't just give you advice from my experience. I must understand the dynamics of male-female relationships. I must understand how society is constructed. I must understand the contract of marriage and how it works. That is not theological. That is family therapy. That is psychology. I must know that. And people come to me, my husband these days, he comes home, and when he comes, he doesn't talk. Now, a spiritual approach will say, pray about it. But I must also understand the dynamics of human behavior. To understand when a man doesn't talk, it must not necessarily mean we should pray about it, but there could be other causes which I can bring to light to the person I'm talking to. Where did I get that from? I borrowed a vessel. How did I borrow it? By reading. People come to me with business ideas. I want to invest in this, and I want to do that, and I want to start a business. So what should I do? But I'm not a businessman. I'm a reverend minister. I'm called Pastor Mensah Otabel. I'm not called businessman Otabel. But people come to me hoping that I'll give them some business ideas. So I must have some guidelines. I may not be able to inform them or guide them specifically and technically and competently as a banker or somebody will do, but I should be able to give them some guidance that will help them to move on with their lives or even recommend some place where they can go to for ideas. Otherwise, all I would say is, bow down your head. Let's pray. People come to me for career choices. What kind of career they are into? Should they get this promotion? Should they do this? Should they study that? Should they not study that? Students come to me. What should I study in the university? I am not a career counselor. But those problems come to me. And as a pastor, you deal with all these things. So you can't just stay in one discipline. You have to be multidisciplinary. So you go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, and they should be empty vessels. And the fourth is, don't borrow a few. Borrow a lot of vessels. That is what Elisha said. He says, make sure you don't limit your borrowing. Don't limit your learning. Don't limit your ability to acquire what other people have achieved. In their knowledge, in their methods, in their systems. You have to understand that. And you have to borrow a lot. Don't borrow a few. So that was what the woman was told. Go and borrow these things. And I'm sure the woman sets out and goes to her neighbors. And she's borrowing vessels. And they are wondering, what is she going to use it for? Because most people who come will not borrow vessels. They'll borrow oil. They will borrow your fruit, your results. How many of you have had people come to you to say, I want you to teach me how you made your money? Most people will come and say, I want you to give me some of your money. But not, I want you to teach me how you made your money. Even as a pastor, most pastors who come to me seeking for help, you know what they want? They'll say, pray for me, that my ministry will grow. Most people will not come and say, I want you to teach me what you did for your ministry to grow. Because people want the oil, they don't want the vessel. They want what you have achieved, not how you achieved it. And so Elisha says, don't just go and borrow oil, borrow the vessel. Don't sit in front of somebody begging him for money. Beg him for his system, for his knowledge, for his understanding, for his competence. Because if you have the vessel, you can pour your oil into it. But we've developed a habit, a behavior of always going to borrow the oil, not the vessel. When borrowing a vessel, it helps to ask questions and seek clarification from the vessel owner. So you don't just say, but well, pastor says go borrow vessels. So you go everywhere borrowing everything. So inspect the vessels you borrow. And you have to ask yourself three questions. One, does the vessel leak? Just because you are borrowing a vessel does not mean that the vessel is good. Does it leak? And I'm sure this woman knows she's going to pour oil into the vessel. She has to ask, do you have holes in your vessel? If you have holes, she doesn't borrow those vessels, because those vessels cannot keep what you are trying to put into it. So does it leak? Second, is the vessel clean for your use? And this is very important. Not every method is clean. Not every system is clean. Some people made money, but they didn't make it with a clean method. And you cannot borrow their vessels. So you can't go to somebody who has made money and a person, you say, how did you do it? He says, you know, cocaine. You say, well, pastor says we should borrow vessels, so teach me. No, that's not what we're talking about. Is the vessel clean? Does it bring honor to God? Is it a clean vessel? Is it an ethical vessel? Is it a system that is right? Because if the system is not right, you cannot borrow that vessel. And believe you me, a lot of people have achieved success in the wrong way. Although there are a huge majority who have achieved success in the right way, there are also quite some people who have achieved success in a very, very wrong way. And you cannot borrow their vessel, because it's a leaking vessel. And it is unclean. Third question. Does the vessel have the strength to keep what I will put into it? Does it have the strength? Is it strong enough? Because sometimes you can get a vessel, but it's not strong enough. Let me give you an example. You can get a rubber bag, what we call rubber bag, the cellophane rubber bag, a big one. Maybe that would take about 30 liters of fluid. So it's quite sizable. And then you can also have a container made with metal or more stronger plastic. That takes 30 liters. If you pour 30 liters of oil into that cellophane bag, do you know what is going to happen? What will happen? It will break, because it's weak. It's like going to the market and buying oil in that polythene bag that some of you buy oil in. By the time you get home, the polythene bag is broken. So it's a vessel, but does it have the strength to carry the weight of glory that God is bringing your way? Does it have the strength to sustain and to live long even after you've acquired it? Because sometimes you borrow something, you use it, you achieve success, but it breaks apart. And it can't be sustained. It happens in all fields, in churches, in politics, everywhere. People achieve success and lose it because they use weak systems. The system may not be unclean, may be clean, it may not have holes in it, but it doesn't have strength. And if you build that way, it will collapse. It will collapse. Let me give you an example. If you look at how nations have developed, you take a great nation like the Soviet Union, former Soviet Union, they built a system of governance. And they built a great nation. They became a superpower. There were two superpowers in the world, USA and USSR. But you and I know that not too long ago in the 90s, that system began to collapse. And everything that was in that dispersed. All the nations that had come together to form the former Soviet Union dispersed. Why? Because they used the system which, although it appeared strong, was weak, because it did not take into account the fact of the human will to find freedom. So you may build a system, but if you don't build it well, it may collapse. So when you are borrowing a vessel, find out, can it sustain what I'm looking for? For example, you marry, and most times you run into people who say, well, in our marriage, we don't quarrel. And I mean, when people tell me they don't quarrel in their marriage, I have serious conflict within myself. Either I'm not normal or they are not normal. You know, so one of us is not normal. Because, and they say, we have married for 20 years, no quarrel. We don't argue. But you go and find out sometimes the reason they don't argue is because somebody is afraid to speak his or her mind. And because they are afraid, they never quarrel. Because when, and most times the women, when they see danger coming, they shut up. The argument stops. Yes, it may have kept you for 20 years without quarreling, but one of these days, somebody is going to speak his mind. Somebody is going to speak her mind. And can that marriage be sustained? Don't build a system that seems to work, but is weak. Because when it really begins to expand, it breaks apart. It has to be built on a good system. A system that is sustainable. So if you're going to learn from somebody who is married, if you're a young couple and you want to learn marriage, don't learn from people who have never quarreled. You can't learn anything from them. Don't learn from them. Go to those who know how to quarrel. And after they quarrel, know how to make up. And know how to get along. And they don't keep bitterness and anger and frustration, but they quarrel and move on. Not those who are always, yes, a mirror, 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 mirror. And behind, there is trouble. And sometimes, instead of the wife telling the husband something, she's afraid. And she goes to tell somebody, who tell him for me. Meanwhile, you say you've never quarreled. But you can't tell him what you want. So it's superficial. That is not a vessel to borrow. That vessel cannot sustain the oil. And it's the same thing in business. You may go to find somebody whose business has done well. But you realize this guy is a brutal dictator in his office. And he's bullied people into productivity. You know, yeah, people do that. They bully people into productivity. And everybody's bullied into productivity. And people are then, and everybody is afraid to talk because there are spies all over. So the company is doing well, but that vessel is a weak vessel. Because one day a brave person will emerge. And when he speaks his mind, the others will say, hey, we've been trying to talk all this time. And that's the end of the system. That's the end of the system. So you have to be careful. You ask yourself, is the vessel resilient? Can it keep? Can it sustain long-term occupation? Can it do that? If it cannot, you cannot borrow it. So inspect the vessel you are borrowing. Is it leaking? Is it clean? Can it contain and sustain what you are looking for or what you are going to put into it? And Elisha says, after borrowing the vessels, shut the door. Go into your house and shut the door. Everybody say, shut the door. That's a very important instruction. If you don't know how to shut the door, you're going to allow all kinds of people into your life who don't belong into your life. People who don't need to come close to you will come too close to you. Can you imagine what would have happened if this woman carries all these vessels and puts them in her house? Neighbors will come around. Have you heard? Did she come to your house too? I don't know. She was carrying. Did she collect vessel from you? We don't know. Let's go and see. So neighbors are watching. There she is with all these vessels. with her children looking at the vessels and holding a small bottle of oil. And they asked her, what are you going to do with it? Well, the prophet says, I should start pouring this oil into the vessels. They will say, are you crazy? Since you were born, have you seen little oil filling these vessels? Are you crazy? She would not be able to do what she wants to do. Because sometimes the things you want to do may not be what people consider conventional. And if you allow them into your space, you will not be able to achieve what you want to achieve. So shut the door. Why do you do that? So you can keep all distractions out. Every kind of distraction should be out. Nothing should distract your attention. Because if you're going to transform your little talent into a massive product, you have to keep distractions out. You have to shut the door. When I started pastoring this church, when we were just a very small church, for 2 years, I preached consistently, almost every service. Never took an appointment anywhere. Never preached anywhere. 2 years, constant. Preaching. Because if you want to achieve something, you have of substance, you have to remove all distractions. You want to build your business, you can't build your business by also involving yourself in everything. Sometimes you have to shut every door and for 1 year or 2 years, commit yourself to something that is before you and get it done. You have to shut the door. Not every appointment, not every visit, not every friend, not everybody who knocks on your door deserves your 1 hour of conversation. You have to learn to shut the door. Keep the distractions out. And focus on the task before you. Focus. Focus on the task before you. Don't let people come to waste your time and your energy. Because you have something in front of you doing. You have a project. I like when Nehemiah was building the walls, rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem and building the temple. And he was told by those Sambalat and Tobias and all these people who wanted to distract him. They said, come and let us discuss some things. He says, I have no time for that. You can hold your discussion, but I'm busy building a wall. Sometimes you have to tell people, I'm busy. I am busy. You remember the person that Jesus said somebody was told to come and follow Jesus. And the person says, let me go and bury the dead. And Jesus says, let the dead bury their dead. Sometimes you need to shut the door. It's not permanent that you will not attend to those people. But for a moment in your life, you have to focus on something. The reason some people never achieve anything is because they are never focused. They are doing too many things and occupying their time with too many unnecessaries. After you focus on the task before you, surround yourself with like-minded people. That's what Elisha says. He says, shut the door behind you and your sons. The people who are focused on doing what you want to do. People who are walking in the same way you are walking in. People who are attempting what you are attempting. Keep them close to you. Sometimes you shut the door on some friends and open the door on other friends. Because some people are taking you out and some people are bringing you in. You have to determine whom you are shutting the door to and whom you are opening the door to. The woman didn't shut the door to everybody. She opened to her sons because they were in this together. They both had the prophet and they both were determined to convert their little domestic oil into a commercial product that will serve their interest in the long term. So shut the door, but keep like-minded people around. Fourth, act on the authority of the creative word. If God has said it, you act on it. If you believe this is the will of God, then that's what you get, you set yourself to do. Act on the authority of the word. And that's what the woman was about to do. I can almost imagine her. She takes that jar of oil and she has these vessels of oil. And she says, well, the man says, I should pour into this. And she's looking at these empty vessels. And her sons are looking into her face. And she's looking at the oil. Nobody has done this before. Nobody has transformed simple jar of oil to fill all these vessels. And she's holding on. The only thing that keeps holding on, helps her to keep holding on, is the word she heard from the prophet. That's the only thing. Because everything before her doesn't make sense. Except the Lord says something new is about to happen. So after you shut the door, what do? You pour your oil into the borrowed vessels. Pour the oil into the borrowed vessels. Something began to happen when she started doing that. She realized that so far as there was capacity to receive what she had never got exhausted. So far as there was capacity to receive what she had never got exhausted. In other words, that what was limiting her was capacity. You know, when I discovered this principle, when we started our church, we used to meet in a classroom in Kanda Estates. And we were in a one classroom. It wasn't a big classroom. I think it was class four or so. For the pupils, it takes about 30, probably 40 people. We took the tables out and jammed a little bit more, probably about 50 or so people in it. And we will have service. There was another church which met about two or three classrooms from us, but they had a double classroom. Strangely, once in a while, this church will go for conventions because they had regional conventions and district conventions. They will go for conventions and the classroom will be empty. And every time they moved out, for some reason I can't explain, when they moved out for that convention and we occupied their space, we filled the double classroom. When we were in the one classroom, we filled it. When we had double classroom, we filled it. And then when they come back, we come to one classroom and we fill it. And then they go for convention and we go to double classroom and we fill it. So something began to say to me, the problem is not the people. It is capacity. You don't have the space. Because if you have the space, God will bring the people. So my number one task from then on was get a bigger space. When we moved, by the time we moved from that classroom, we were about 80 people in that classroom. And then we moved from there to Regal Cinema Hall. The first meeting we had at Regal Cinema Hall, we moved from 80 people. Next meeting, we had 200. 81 week, next week, 200. So what was the problem? The problem is not what you have, it's that you haven't created the capacity so that what you have can fill it. And that's what Elisha said to this woman. Your problem is not the oil. The problem is the jar the oil is in. If you move that oil, it will fill as much vessels as possible. I remember when we moved from Baden Powell Hall to this place. We said, wow, because this hall is about three times Baden Powell Hall. I said, oh, we'll have one service. We couldn't. Because we have capacity. We came in here the first week, we overflowed it, and we did it for about a month, and then we went back to double service. And look at now, we are filling up the tower. The problem is not the people. If we build four times this auditorium, it will be filled. If we build 10 times this auditorium, it will be filled. Create the space and the people will fill it. That is the principle. If you have your business and it's been in a kiosk for so long and you are having diminishing returns and you are struggling, the problem is not your product. The problem is the kiosk. It's your jar. Move from the jar of kiosk and start pouring into something bigger. For some reason, I don't know why Ghanaian businessmen like small shops. I can't understand. I can't understand. I was talking to a businessman doing very well. I said, why is it that all of you have these small shops? He says, you know, you have to be careful, and if you are not careful, you know. Go to the Accra Mall. It's full. And it's not shops. You create a space, it will be full. If you create more space, it will be full. The problem is not the oil. It is the vessel. It is the vessel. It is the vessel. So pour your oil into the borrowed vessels. Allow the vessels to shape what you have. Let the vessels shape. The good thing about vessels is that they give new form, new shape, new direction to your oil. I'm sure some of the vessels were cylindrical, so the oil became cylindrical. Some were squarish, the oil became squarish. Some were hexagonal, the oil became hexagonal. Whatever shape it had, the oil filled it. You have no idea the different shapes that your business, your enterprise, your church, your family can take until you have enough shapes and vessels and start pouring into them. And you will see the diversity you can achieve. Allow the vessels to shape what you have. Work on the vessels one at a time. Although this woman had many vessels, she didn't pour a little in one vessel, another in one vessel, just a little here, a little here, a little here. If let's take it, she has 20 vessels. Each one has got a little bit at the bottom. That's not what Elisha said. Elisha says you focus on one vessel, and when it's full, you move on. You know why sometimes people never achieve what they have to achieve? It's because they are doing too many things at the same time. They have one good vessel, one good thing they are working on. It's not finished, they jump to the next one. It's not finished, they jump to the next one. They start something one year, they move on to something another year. And they never finish anything. But Elisha says, you don't do that. You work on the one. And I can imagine this woman starts to pour the oil into the vessel. Can you imagine the sound it made? And she's praying. She said, God, don't let this thing finish. Oh, Lord, don't let this finish. Oh, Lord, don't let this finish. And she's pouring. And I don't think it was coming in large numbers. Probably it was coming in trickles. It was coming in trickles. So she had to have patience. She had to have faith. She had to have endurance. She had to persevere. And it's coming in trickles. And it's coming in trickles. And it fills the bottom of the vessel. And she's still pouring. And it begins to rise. And it begins to rise. Then she says, wow, this thing is getting a lot. And she waits. And she waits. And she's patient. And she endures. And she works hard. And all of a sudden, one vessel is full. And she still has her jar of oil. She moves on to the next one. And she still starts pouring the same sound. But she is patient. And she waits. And she waits. And she waits. And she waits. And that vessel is full. Then she goes to the next one. And she starts pouring. And she waits. You don't start and say, it's too slow. Let me stop and go to the next vessel. You have to wait till one vessel is full. At least in your lifetime, achieve one solid objective. Do something and finish it before you move on. So she had to work on the vessels one at a time, and she had to wait till every vessel is filled out. Completely fill out the vessels you pick. I've commented on that already. Completely fill out. You can't start a church one year and then you say you're going to start a university. No, it doesn't work that way. Sometimes you see people who have started, they haven't finished one vessel, they are moving on to the next vessel. No. You start one, you fill it, then you move on to the next and start working on it. Just because somebody is doing it doesn't mean you should go and do it. You start one, finish it, move on to the next one. We are now filling our university vessel as a church. Then we can move on to fill our bank vessel. Then we can move on to fill other vessels. The same anointing that raised the church, raises a university, will raise a bank, will raise other things. And on we go. It's the same. It's the same. And when God begins to allow you to pour into new vessels, you don't run away when it's low. You stay and wait till that vessel is also filled. You set aside the full vessels and move on to new ones. That's what Elisha says. Set aside the full ones and move on to new ones. Because when the vessel is full and you keep pouring into it, what's going to happen? Either there will be a spillage or there will be a stoppage. And from what we learn from the story, the moment the vessel is full, there is a stoppage. If you don't create new space, you get stuck. You get stuck at one level of achievement, but you can achieve 10 levels. You can have various vessels. Listen to me, especially business people in this church. Don't waste all your energy and time and lifetime just filling one vessel. You must have the courage to borrow more vessels. So after you've filled one, you can move on to the next and move on to the next and move on to the next. You have to form a conglomerate of businesses. And you can't do it from operating in a small kiosk. I don't know of conglomerate of kiosks. I think you need to move from that vessel. When God gives you increase and success, you must seek His guidance on how to use what He has given to you. This woman, after she had all this oil, she doesn't decide what she wants to do with it. She goes back to the prophet and she says, what do you want me to do with what I have achieved? You know, many times God gives us success and we determine how we're going to use God's success. We don't go back to God to find out, why did you give me this? What do you want me to do with it? So you have to wisely use what God has given to you. And there are three instructions that Elisha gave to the woman that are instructive to us. Three instructions. First, Elisha says, sell what you have. He didn't say sell yourself. Do you remember at the beginning of the story, some people were going to be sold? Who were going to be sold? Her children. Now she says, you don't need to sell the children. You sell the oil. Because God has provided a substitute for the children. Sell the oil, not the children. I thank God that He's able to provide solution for us. So we don't sell the future of our children. But God gives us something instead that we can sell to pay for the sustenance of our children. But you know, to sell the oil, the woman had to be strong on the market. She had to learn how to negotiate and how to market properly for her product. And that's where sometimes we miss it. God has given you increase, but if you don't market it well, you get cheap value for it. So she says, go. He says, go and sell. She has to find the best way of selling. And if she's cheated in the selling process, her miracle is a waste. If she doesn't negotiate well for what she had produced, her miracle is a waste. So God gives you the increase, but you have to learn how to sell it well. Because let me tell you something. When you have substance, people want to take you for cheap. And people will want to take what you have for cheap. And you have to learn to negotiate and sell at the right price for yourself. Granting that everybody in the village had oil, then this woman's oil will be of low value. So she had to go and look for new market for oil. Probably from people who have had no oil for a long time and sell them the oil. Because just because she has abundance does not mean she can get a good price for it. But Elisha says, go sell what you have. How she does it is up to her. Look for the market to sell what you have. The second thing Elisha said to her is, pay your debts. Pay your debts. Pay the people you owe. Now you may think that the only person she owed was a creditor. But she owed three people. Three kinds of debts she had. The first person you owe is God. When God blesses you, you don't just take that money and go and pay your debts or go and live on the rest, but you give back to God because He's the one who multiplied what you have. So this woman had to honor God. That's a debt of gratitude and of thanks and appreciation to God. Secondly, she has to pay the people whom her husband owed before the husband died. That's the creditors. Third, she had to pay her future. That's investment. Because if she doesn't invest well, she'll be back to square one. When God gives you money, before you live on any of the money, pay God, pay people you owe, and pay your future. Pay God, pay people you owe, pay your future. Before you spend any of the money, invest. It should be part of your practice that every month you invest money into the future. In whatever reasonable instrument you can use, financial instrument, you invest into the future. Pay God, pay people you owe, invest into the future. And then Elijah said the third thing, live on the rest. Look at the sequence. The sequence there is not just written for entertainment. You sell, you pay your debts before you live on the rest. You don't live on the rest before you pay your debts. And you don't live on it when you haven't invested into the future. Please let me give you some little counsel here. When you have money, buy assets whose value will increase with time. Not assets whose values decrease with time. If you have money, you can put it in financial instruments in the bank, but you can buy land. If there's anything I know about land in Ghana, the price always goes up. It always goes up. Sometimes in a year, 100%. In my opinion, is the best way of investment. If you can get the documents right, because there are a lot of demons there. But if you can get the documents right and everything right, is the best way of investment. Because you can get minimum 50% return on your investment. It's higher than any form of investment in the country. Land, real estate. No wonder whenever God gives people promise, he adds land to the promise. Land is important. You can invest in land. But don't invest in perishables. Cars are good, but they don't increase in value. As a matter of fact, when you buy a car and you drive it out of the showroom, it's lost about 20% of its value. Just drive, vroom, 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 move out, 20% gone. So really, it's not a good investment. Before you buy a car, buy land. Amen? Buy land. Buy a house. Invest your money properly, not in something that has diminishing returns. And if you can use the car for a long time, use it for a long time till all the juices are gone. Before you get another one. And don't be bothered and don't let people judge you by the car you drive. Because your investment must be solid and must be futuristic and long term. So buy assets that have great pay, great dividends. It's good to have good furniture and sound system and all these things and television. I can guarantee you it's good. It makes your life a bit more enjoyable. But they should not come at the expense of your real investments. You don't have land, but you have two TV sets. You don't have land, but you have two cars. You don't have land, but you have fridge, deep freezer, fridge, and tabletop. You don't have land, but you have a sound system. Boom, 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 boom. And what are you getting from it? Just what are you getting from it? You don't have land, but you have sound system. You don't have land, but you are traveling abroad every time. So sell what you have, pay your debts to God, to your creditors, to your future, before you live on the rest. You don't start living on the rest until you have paid your investment and you've paid your debt. And the most ugly sight, really, is somebody who owes people and is trying to live well. That's a very annoying, ugly sight. You owe people. When you get money, instead of paying your debt, you are enjoying. The Bible didn't say that. Elisha didn't say, well, you have the oil. Sell it and just enjoy the good life. That's not what he said. He says, pay your debts before you live on the rest. You must be debt free. You must be totally debt free. You must live your life to the point where you say, I owe no one nothing except love. If you take a loan from the bank, pay your debts. Because if you don't pay, the banks, they are not like your neighbors, whom you can play games. The banks, they have coercive power. They will repossess things from you and make you miserable. So pay your debt. Don't pay girlfriends. Pay your debt. I don't know why a man should suffer to make money and pay a girlfriend whom he will not marry in the first place. I mean, it's the highest form of illiteracy. Why can somebody, with your right brain, your brains are working, you work hard, you sweat, you work hard, people, you, and then you get all the money and give it to a girlfriend? I mean, there must be something wrong with your thought process. Why? And the girl is crying. He didn't love me. He didn't love me. Get this car. He didn't love me. He didn't. Get this house. He didn't love me. He didn't love me. Get this. He didn't love. And you are the one suffering. And she won't marry you too. Any man who is doing that, please. 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 For your own intelligence sake. Just be wise. Just be wise. Just be wise. You've suffered too long. And any girl who is receiving it, go and get your own vessels. And get your own oil and start working hard for yourself. But we learn from this story that you can take the little you have and grow it into huge commercial, large-scale quantities. This year, may God cause you to take the little oil you have and create abundance with it. May God help you to do extraordinary things with the ordinary tools you have. May God open your eyes to the things you have, so that even when there is nothing, you would know what you have. May He increase you. May He multiply you. May He strengthen you. May He grow your effort in every way. May your little oil become a business. May you move from that little space, little kiosk, little house, little business, little idea, into a big international, transcontinental conglomerate. May God increase you and prosper you in all that you do. And as He blessed this widow, may that blessing rise upon you.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For enquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055. +233 26 767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.